Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And our Father, today we thank You and we praise You for all of Your blessings, for all that You've done in our lives. And Father, I ask now Your anointing upon me. Father, as we bring the Word today, Father, as You lay it upon my heart to speak to this people today, let Your words come forth from my mouth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we're living in a time, at an age when we are seeing things come to pass just overnight, it seems like. If you've studied the Bible at all, or if you've heard anything about Bible prophecy, you can look around and you can see the events that are spoken of in the Bible, many of them taking place right before our very eyes. Events that were spoken of 2,000 or more years ago that are coming to pass. Just this past week, the United States launched an attack against Syria, one of the sites being in the city of Damascus. And Damascus comes up in biblical prophecy in the fact that it says that the day will come that Damascus will be laid waste, never to be inhabited again. And I think about that because Damascus is recorded as being the oldest continually occupied city on the face of the planet. Think about that. A city that has 6,000 plus years of history, one day wiped out. And I thought, are we coming to one of those wars that's prophesied in the book of Revelation? What is going to take place? What is going to happen? And I look around as I begin reading the book of Revelation again just a few days ago and going through it another time. And there is so much in there that many times that we as Christians, we don't seem to understand. But yet as we read and we study, God begins to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds of understanding to understand what He's saying. Because some things that were written in the book of Revelation could not have possibly happened. Even just a few years ago, some of the events talked about were not possible. But today we see all of these events, all of these things that could take place. Another one that comes to mind is as you read on into the book of Revelation. It talks about the Antichrist and the image that the false prophet sets up of the Antichrist and commands that all will worship the image of the beast. And we've wondered about that because it speaks and it does various things. And yet today we have robotics that can interact with human beings, can hold conversations with them. Some of you may have some of these devices in your homes. Alexa for one. I've forgotten the name of the other one right off. Siri. You talk to it. It's a device, yet it communicates with you. It holds, essentially, a conversation with you. You use Bluetooth, and especially if you're using it with your phone, you tell it to call so-and-so, and it will then say it's calling that person, or it will tell you that it doesn't understand what you said, or it will tell you that some other thing that it might be that's holding up your call. So we're communicating with some of these devices on a daily basis that just 20 years ago we did not think were possible. I say this as a prelude to the message because in the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, John is instructed to write to the church. And who is the church? Well, so many times we become wrapped up in denominations and in buildings. Oh, that is the church, and we refer to certain structures as churches. And that's okay to call that building a church. But the church that the Bible is referring to is the people who make up the congregation. A church building is just a building unless there is a congregation of believers that gather in that building. And as John is instructed to write, he writes to seven churches in particular. And I felt led today to deal with just a portion of what he shares with each of those seven churches. Because as I thought about it, we see today within the church world, depending again upon what part of the world that you live in, these various things still taking place that John spoke out to. Now, he named seven specific groups of people, churches, that were in Asia Minor, that existed in his day. And in the church world of today, I believe we still have the essence of those seven churches existing within the church world today. And I'm sad to say that in my lifetime, I have seen some churches go from being filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire for God, reaching out, teaching and preaching the true, unadulterated, unbiased Word of God, to preaching a gospel that pleases man. I could name a few, but I'm not going to. The first church he speaks out to in chapter 2 of the book of Revelations, in verse 4, we're going to read. And today I'm going to be reading from a couple of different translations because I think that what it says in those specific translations really brings out the message that John is trying to get across here as he's anointed by the Holy Spirit to write to these churches. The first church he speaks to is the church at Ephesus. And we want to turn to Revelations chapter 2, verse 4. In this case, we're going to read from the King James Version because you cannot get any plainer than what it says right here. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You can't put it any plainer than that. You have left your first love. And like I said a few moments ago, the church is not the building. The church is not the sign that's over the door. The church is not the denomination or affiliation that they have with another group. It is the people who congregate together that make up the church. And it says, you have left your first love. growing up in the Pentecostal denomination, I am very sad to say, I have seen churches within the Pentecostal movement that have left their first love. I have seen churches within the Baptist organization that have left their first love, and they've picked up another love, which throws them into one of the groups that we're going to be talking about in a few moments as well. But they have left their first love. And what is your first love? It's that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. It's that relationship that is burning down in your soul and in your spirit, where you love God more than anything else. But today, so many things come before God in our lives. I know over the years I've mentioned on various radio broadcasts, videos, other things that we've produced, the fact that at the time my wife and I were dating, probably 90%, possibly even a little bit more, of our dates involved going to church. I proposed to her after church one night. She accepted my proposal after a church service. Everything in our lives revolved around church. We got married and we went to church sometimes 7 nights a week. We had a love for God. The church world, the people we associated with, had a love for God. I got drafted into the army. Got sent to Germany. There we did not have the opportunities to go to church 7 nights a week. Not only did we not have the opportunity, we didn't have the means as well. But we talked about we would be so glad when we got back to the United States and we could be back with our friends and we could be back in church. Well, after my 2-year stint in the Army, we got back home. And guess what? To our surprise and to our amazement, it wasn't the way it was when we left. Other things had begun to creep into people's lives. Now, I do know that over the period of the first few years we were back, we went to churches, and we went to churches that had revivals. And I remember the church that I became an associate pastor in, we had revivals that lasted for weeks that went 7 nights a week, and sometimes from 7 p.m. in the evening until midnight. And you could feel the move of God because the people had regained their first love. Our first love has to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where our first love needs to be. The second church that he writes to is the church in Smyrna. Revelations 9 and 10, and we're reading from the Holloman Christian Standard Bible. I know your affliction and poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. But are a synagogue of Satan, is the way it actually reads. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look what the devil is about to throw some of you. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Some of us may be going through, and some of us may be experiencing times of affliction. We may be experiencing a time of poverty. Yet, the Word says we are rich. Because if you've got Jesus in your heart, you are rich. Maybe not in the things of this world, but the Bible also tells us the things of this world are going to fade away. They're going to be corrupted. They're going to disappear. A thief can steal them. But those riches that we have laid up in Jesus Christ are eternal. They cannot be taken away from us. So even though we may be going through a tough time, we may be going through some testing, we may be going through some trials, we may be going through some tribulation, the Bible tells us as Christians who really love God, we are rich. And yes, we may get slandered by other people in other churches possibly even. Goes on in verse 10 there and says, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you. You'll have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you a crown of life. The key point of this is to be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Hang on until you breathe that last breath. And a crown of life is laid up for us. Faithfulness. We must have faithfulness. And yet I look around today at the church, and it seems like that the things of the world have become more important than the things of God. You see, because all of these things that he's describing here interact with each other, lack of faithfulness has to do with leaving the first love. But if we are faithful, he in turn is faithful to us, and we will receive a crown of life. The third church he writes to is the church of Pergamum. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Reading from the Geneva Bible, which is a translation that goes back prior to the King James even. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that maintain the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak. If you recall, back in the Old Testament, prophet was hired to try to prophesy against the children of Israel. Goes on here, it says, which taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, that they should eat of things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Well, maybe we're not eating things sacrificed unto idols, but I'll tell you that fornication part's running rampant even in the church today. And it seems like just every few weeks you read of some other minister that has a moral failure. And it generally involves some type of fornication. Some type of sexual sin. Some type of thing that the Bible has spoken out specifically not to do. It's rampant in the church world today. We need to repent and do our first works over again. And by the way, if you read the verses in between here many times, that word repent and do your first works over again comes up over and over again. Sometimes we need to repent. Sometimes we need to get down on our knees and put our face down on the ground before God and repent. And repentance is turning away from those sins, those things that we have done. We're seeing some of the things that were happening in Pergamum taking place and the churches of today. Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, again reading from the Geneva Bible, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to deceive my servants, to make them commit fornication, and to eat meats sacrificed unto idols. Well, it seems like in some of the churches the same sins were going on. Fornication, eating those things sacrificed to idols. And I think today that's taking hold of things that are ungodly, participating in things that would take us away from God. I know a few years ago, and it's probably been 20 some years ago at this point, my wife and I, along with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, went to the city of New Orleans, Louisiana, for the first time. And we had to spend the night there because we were actually on our way somewhere else to a wedding. And we had to fly into that city, and we had to spend the night there. And we went down on Bourbon Street. And if you want to feel the things of Satan, walk down Bourbon Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. You can feel the presence of evil in that place. And I don't know, maybe today that's partaking of the things there is eating the meat sacrificed to idols. Now all we did was went down and find a restaurant and have an evening meal. But as you walk down the sidewalk, you could see these shops. They were promoting things that were satanic and demonic. And I think that's possibly what is being referred to here in today's age. Suffereth that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. And I know there are some people that will take offense, possibly, to what I'm about to say. But we've got too many people running around today declaring that they are a prophet or a prophetess. And sad to say, in my life, I've met up with some women who call themselves prophetesses. And several of them are not even serving God today. They were a prophetess in their own mind. And we have this today. We have false prophets, false prophetesses, running around telling people things that are not from God. And they are not the Word of God. Be careful who you listen to. I've had some people prophesy over me over the years and tell me things, and things that didn't happen. And some things that were prophesied over me did happen. But be careful. Church of Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, reading again from the King James Bible. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. I want to stop right there a minute. God knows your works. You are not hiding anything from God. Don't ever be deceived to think that you can hide what you're doing from God. You may hide it from man. You may hide it from your family. You may hide it from your husband. You may hide it from your wife. You may hide it from your children. You may hide it from your church. But you won't hide it from God. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Man, if you hear that and you're not living for God, it should make your heart sink. For God to say, I have not found thy works perfect before God. You're in big trouble if your works are not perfect before God. I want to back up to verse 1 there. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And I can think right now of some churches I know of that have a name of being on fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, churches that teach the Word of God without fear, without favor. But you walk into them and they're dead. They're dead. They have a form of godliness, but they are lacking. We need to make sure that what we are doing will be found perfect before God. And I want to point out, it may not be perfect before man, but if we are doing what God has called us to do, and we are doing it with everything that we have within us to do it, then God sees it as perfect. But if we are half-heartedly doing something, even though we might be doing a great job in front of the world and in front of people, but we're only really doing it half-hearted, it's not going to be perfect before God. Put all you've got into what you do for God. Give Him your all. My wife talks about, as she worked in the secular world for many years and doing her job, that she did her job as unto God. She did it so that it would be pleasing to God. She put her all into it. And that's what we need to do, is put our all into what we do for God. The church at Philadelphia, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3, and to the angel of the Messianic community in Philadelphia write, here is the message of the HaKadosh, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who if he opens something, no one else can shut it, and if he closes something, no one else can open it. I know what you're doing. Look, I have put in front of you an open door, and no one can shut it. I know that you have but little power, yet you have obeyed my message and have not disowned me. And oh, I tell you, that speaks volumes to me right there. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to have a big church. You don't have to have this or you don't have to have that. If you have obeyed God's message to you, and have not disowned Him, He has found you perfect before Him. Goes on in verse 10, because you did not obey because you did not obey my message about persevering, I will keep you from the time of, or excuse me, because you did obey. Boy, I almost made a big mistake there, didn't I? Because you did obey my message about persevering, I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the whole world to put the people living on earth to the test. And I'll tell you, the enemy didn't want me to get that one right. Because you did obey my message about persevering, about hanging in there no matter what. And there are times in your life as a child of God, and you're trying to do your best for God, and it seems like everything in the world has come against you. Hang in there. There's an old saying that when you've come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Persevere. And I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the whole world to put people living on the earth to the test. I know we talk about the rapture of the church, and some people believe it's going to be pre-trib, before the tribulation period starts. Some people believe it's going to be mid-trib, middle of the tribulation period, and this is going by the seven-year period that's spoken of. And I know some teach that only the tribulation's only 3.5 years. Or those that teach post-tribulation that the church will not be raptured until after or till the end of the tribulation has taken place. That we're going to, as Christians, go through the tribulation. And of course they have scriptures to back them up, just as people with the other views have scriptures to back them up. But I hang on to this verse right here. He says, I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the whole earth to put the people living on earth to the test. I think that speaks volumes right there. I want to be part of that group. I've already gone through all the tests I want to go through. Hang in there. God's on your side. Hang in there. Last church he speaks to, the church of Laodicea. And oh, I tell you, this is a church you definitely don't want to be a part of. Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Reading again from the Complete Jewish Bible. I know what you are doing. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. For you keep saying, I am rich. I've gotten rich. I don't need anything. You don't know what you don't know that you are the one who is wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And there's a lot of people in the church world today that are part of the Laodicean church. They're lukewarm. Oh, they think they've got everything, that they don't need anything else. God, I'll get back to you when I need you. And I've seen people like that. I've known people like that. God, when I need you, I'll give you a call. But until then, don't bother me. Don't bug me. But you're the one who's wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Let's back up to verse 16 there. Because you are lukewarm, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. That is a horrible thing to hear. That God has found you so disgusting that he's going to vomit you out of his mouth. But there's hope for all. Doesn't matter which church you have found yourself in. And maybe as you've listened to this message today, you've said, that's the church I'm in. And maybe you're sitting in a congregation somewhere or at some point, and the move of God is taking place around you, but you yourself individually are in one of those other churches. There's still time. You know what they say, as long as there's life, there's hope. And as long as you have breath, there's hope. You can call out, you can cry out to God. Repent. And He will give you the crown of life. And Father, today as I've delivered the word, as you've laid it upon my heart, I just pray, Father, that whoever hears this word, Father, that it touches their life, it touches their heart, it touches their spirit. And Father, if there's one that hears this word that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I ask today, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart right now, and that they would ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and into their life. I ask it in Jesus' name. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to visit our website. There's a page called Salvation, and it gives you scriptures. It gives you things that you need to know as a new Christian. Also, I encourage you to contact us. You can contact us by email, through the website. The announcer is going to give the address and all at the end of the program. But let us know if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Let us know if you've been blessed by this broadcast today and this message. Again, Father, I thank you for all that you've done, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated. Thank you.